This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Thursday, everybody. We are in full countdown mode to November 5th. Finally, the end is in sight, but probably not. We'll probably be talking about the election and all kinds of things for a goodly amount of time afterwards because margins are razor thin. Folks, we got a great lineup today to talk about all of this and so much more. As you all know, if you've been listening in on Thursdays, I'm joined by a fantastic guest host. His name is Tom Paulsiewicz. He's a two-time candidate for the 5th Congressional District here in Wisconsin, a Navy veteran and a small businessman. Today, Tom and I are going to welcome John Burke back to the Maggie Dawn Show. John is the president of Trek Bicycles, considers himself an independent, has written 3 different books. We're going to have John come back in, talk to him about why he's endorsed and is voting for Kamala Harris, and some of his thoughts about the biggest problems facing our country and what those solutions might look like. Today on Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, we've got Wendy Lee, a sociologist and fellow at the SNF Agora Institute at Johns Hopkins University. She studies the careers and social networks of policy professionals. I mean, super fascinating. Can't wait to ask Wendy, like, how did we get here? How much does social media matter? Why is all of this happening? Maybe Wendy can enlighten us all. And of course, it is Thursday, so at 3:30, we're going to have Dr. Kristen Lierley, candidate for the 8th Congressional District, wondering what she might have to say about Donald Trump basically insulting everybody from the 8th Congressional District and especially people from Green Bay. We'll check in with Dr. Kristen at 3:30. So don't go anywhere. We got a full lineup for you. And of course, everybody, Civic Media is going to have you covered on election night. We're going to have special election night coverage. Schedule it in. Come join us. We're going to have Todd Alba, Pat Kreitlow, a whole lineup of special guests, our political editor, Dan Schaefer. I'll be giving some commentary discussing maybe what we're seeing happening with the counting of votes. I know a couple of 2-3 things about that. Dom Salvia might pop in. Jane, Greg, Earl Ingram, the whole Civic Media family is going to be there. Don't miss that special coverage on election night. But Tom Paulsiewicz, it's great to have you back. Thank you so much for being here.
And great to be here. And I think a few things happened over the last week since I was here.
I feel like you and I need to come on like every other day because we just can't keep up with the news cycle.
Yes.
And listen, the show's been so packed, Tom, that listeners, you folks out there haven't gotten as much of a chance to chime in as I would like you to. So I talked with Tom earlier today. What we decided is we're going to share some sound with you. I want to ask Tom, check in with him, what he thinks of all of these developments. It seems like an entire lifetime has passed since that insane rally at Madison Square Garden. Of course, the vice president's closing argument at the Ellipse, incredibly poignant. But what Tom and I would like to do today is check in with all of you. How are you doing? What is your reaction to some of these last minute run to the finish line developments? Of course, we want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But Tom, let's kick it off maybe with a little bit of sound since, you know, things are complicated these days.
Yes, they are.
Let's see. Cardi, do we have the straight up sound of Donald Trump telling women he doesn't really care about whether or not we like things or want them. This is not a numbered cut. This is for the in and outros. If you don't have that right away, let's take a listen. This is Charlie Kirk. This is going to be cut number one on Megyn Kelly's new podcast, since her effort to be sort of agnostic on NBC crashed and burned like a huge dumpster fire. Let's take a listen to what Charlie Kirk had to say.
And she needs people to basically lie to their husbands, which they are promoting, by the way, which I find that entire advertising campaign so repulsive. It is so disastrous. It is just like it is the embodiment of the downfall of the American family. I think it's so gross. I think it's so just nauseating, where this wife is wearing wearing the American hat. She's coming in with her sweet husband, who probably works his tail off to make sure that she can go, you know, and have a nice life and provide for the family. And then she lies to him saying, oh yeah, I'm going to vote for Trump. And then she votes for Kamala Harris as her little secret in the voting booth. Kamala Harris and her team believe that there will be millions of women that undermine their husbands and do so in a way that it's not detectable in the polling.
Yeah, oh my God.
Oh boy.
Where to even start with that? Cardi, give me a thumbs up if and when you got the Trump. All right, let's listen to Trump addressing women's concerns yesterday in Green Bay.
They said, sir, I just think it's inappropriate for you to say, pay these guys a lot of money. Can you believe it? I said, well, I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not.
Tom, you're not a woman, but you're a man that loves women. Your thoughts?
Yes. The level of misogyny is, you know, it's palpable. You can see it. You can hear it. I think the bigger issue, though, is that the expectation is there are a whole bunch of people out there who are second-class citizens.
Mm.
And if you are not a male, you are not at the pinnacle of the process, you're secondary. And when you think about that, how long have people been fighting for the rights of basically becoming a white male?
God, yes.
If forever, right? And here's a party that wants to take us right back to where we were, instead of having diversity of thought, having inclusion, having equity across the board, and really making a better society because we have other people's inputs than we would normally get. But the starting point is this is the way we do it, and you're a second class citizen and you should know your place.
Yeah, and the idea that having a different political opinion from your husband is somehow anti-Christian. Earlier this week, yes. I had cuts from Pastor Joel Webbin, and this has been said across the Theobro right Christian nationalist blogosphere, podosphere, about the 19th Amendment was a mistake. The husband should cast a vote for a household. The idea that political disagreement with anybody in your family or your husband, if you're a woman, yes, is somehow, again, anti-Christian or inappropriate, or that it undermines your family in some kind of way, is frankly not just insulting. I start to look at it as a sort of thinking pathology. Like, if you buy into that.
Yes.
If you can't even tolerate a bit of good fit amongst a person that you love and you've committed your life to be together, that you can't have disagreement in a household, that is exactly, I think, what you're saying, but almost more pernicious, more frightening. If you can't tolerate it amongst your partner for life and somebody you love, what are you saying isn't tolerable in a democracy? It's like, nobody gets to
democracy,
disagree.
Yeah, democracy is not right. And, you know, I think the other thing that Charlie Kirk alluded to was that in return for taking care of you, you owe me your vote. And I got to tell you, I was knocking on doors last weekend, and I went to this one house, and this guy was working on his motorcycle with his buddy. And I said, you know, hey, just checking in, making sure everybody had a plan to vote. And he goes, yeah. I voted, my wife voted, we're on the opposite sides, we cancel each other out, but we're good with that.
Oh.
And I walked away going, that's the way it's supposed to work.
Absolutely.
It's like people who love each other understand each other, but still take the actions necessary and not try to change the other person.
not try to change. I mean, I might try to convince my partner.
Oh,
right?
All day long, I'd be convincing. Yes.
Right. And have the argument and discussion and be heated about it. And it's because you respect your partner, be she a man or a woman or a they, right? Like, you respect your partner. So we're going to exchange these ideas. We're going to have these difficult conversations. Yes. Yeah. The part of that where he's off providing for the wife, as if like she doesn't know any better. And
well, not just not know any better, not deserve that vote because correct. She's not participating.
And the third take on that is, I'm providing for you, and transactionally, therefore, yes. you therefore. Owe me this, right? You right. owe deference and subservience, which speaks to, I mean, we could go off about just that from Charlie Kirk for 2 hours, because it speaks to, like, let's say you are a stay-at-home mom or wife, and your husband is the primary breadwinner. Guess what? Your labor is just as valuable. It's simply unpaid, which is such a problem in our culture. But it's like, what are you even talking about? Maybe he should acquiesce to her perspective, since she's the one getting all the stuff done for the family,
it's
and all he does is generate
job,
a pit.
Right?
Yes,
yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, there were plenty of times, because, you know, we have three kids. My wife and I have three kids, and there were plenty of times when she was out of the workforce taking care of the children, and I looked at that job and went, I don't want to do that job. That sounds
so
it was
hard.
An extremely difficult job, and she did it so well and with such grace. She deserved to have that vote sometimes more than I did. But when you look at this other party and they're saying, you know, this is where we need to go back to, it makes all the sense in the world that the Democrats are saying we're not going back.
Well,
we're just not going
how
back.
How can it? Literally, we would have to repeal the 19th Amendment. Like,
yes.
Oh, fair. It's equal pay for equal work. No, that's not actually a thing.
Wait, Maggie, we'd have to start removing rights that people have. I'm not sure that. Yes.
That's happened. Folks, my special guest host this afternoon is Tom Paulswitz, two-time congressional candidate in the 5th CD. We want to hear from you. How are you doing? What do you think about all these crazy happenings? I got some sound coming up, Tom, after we come back after these brief messages. Something about garbage. I don't know. We'll check in on that. Folks, we absolutely want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. My name's Maggie Dawn. He's Tom Paulswitz. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back in just a moment.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they...
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
They said, sir, I just think it's inappropriate for you to say, pay these guys a lot of money. Can you believe it? I said, well, I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not.
What's up, y'all? My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My special guest host this half hour, Tom Paulswitz. We want to hear from you. There's just been so much that's gone on over the last just handful of days. We want to hear from you. How are you doing? What do you think about all these things? 855-752-4842. We got Cindy from Appleton weighing in on the craziness of these implications from all sorts of folks from the megasphere saying that women should just vote what their husbands want. Cindy, what are your thoughts?
Oh, my God. That's, to me, it's just like,
Really? But my question is, what happened if it's the man who's the stay-at-home, quote-unquote, mom, and the female is the primary breadwinner? Then how's that going to work?
Yeah, it, like, does their head, I mean, do they just sort of, like, implode? I don't know if many of these guys are in those kinds of relationships, Tom. What do
no.
you think?
Yeah, those are not, well, I don't think they're allowed by their religion or, they're not willing to even think about that's a possibility. Yet it's very common. It happens all the time.
More and more these days. I mean, Pastor Joel Webben, I don't know if he even... Yeah, that would not be a thing. We played sound earlier this week about like women need to be quiet and soft spoken. I think that would probably include like don't earn more money than your husband because that might undermine him. And we need a united household under the male patriarch's leadership.
Fragile male ego.
You said it, my friend. We've got some more sound coming up here. I wanted to play this because there's been a whole heck of a lot of hubbub dealing with the word garbage. And I just wanted to remind everybody and ask you all what you think about this. There's a guy who is the connoisseur of garbage, the grouch of garbage, the gobbler of garbage, the spewer of garbage. It is constantly garbage, garbage, garbage. And that person's name... is Donald Trump. Let's take a listen to cut number three.
And it's not her. It's the people that surround her. They're scum. They're scum. And they want to take down our country. They are absolute garbage.
You total piece of garbage.
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 Talking about garbage.
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 Garbage. Talking about garbage.
I'd love to be nice, but I'm dealing against real garbage.
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 Garbage. Can I use the word garbage?
Garbage.
Garbage.
She's scum. She's garbage.
This scum. This garbage.
Pile of garbage.
First time I've ever said garbage.
A garbage can.
We're like a garbage can.
Garbage can. Garbage can for the rest of the world. We're a garbage can.
How do you like my garbage truck? This truck is in honor of Kamala and Joe Biden.
Garbage. It's 45 seconds long.
Yes. Of how many different cuts? And then, you know, the interesting thing, and this is what I think he's become a master at, is he says these things day in and day out. But if his opponent says it, they're as bad or worse than him because they've said it.
It's I've called it the gaslighting of America. It's constant psychological projection. It is right out of the Joseph Goebbels handbook, which is accuse your opponents of the things that you're doing until it becomes accepted that that's actually what's happening. Listen, Donald Trump, the king of the garbage dump. It's just that's his language. That is this guy's vernacular. And you throw one bar back and it's like, oh, my goodness, the sky is falling. Michaela from West Bend texting in, what century does Charlie Kirk live in? Women are humans. Thank you, Michaela. And their identity is not derived from their husbands. That is clearly not what J.D. Vance, the Theo Bros, Charlie Kirk, Joel Webben, and Megyn Kelly sat there like nodding along while Charlie Kirk said that. Really shocking. Yep.
Megyn Kelly, right.
Yeah.
Who, when you think about what her position is and how much money she makes and everything else, is definitely not on board with that idea, but agrees with it in order to keep getting paid.
Well, and wasn't Megyn Kelly one of the women that was pretty brutally sexually harassed by Roger Ailes?
Yes.
She was.
If you've read the story.
I mean, at least allegedly.
Allegedly, yes.
It's a lot. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you say what this afternoon, friend?
Well, I might be getting a little extreme here, but Charlie Kirk should probably be gelded because we don't need that in the gene pool. Maybe that's being extreme, but I just...
That is definitely being extreme,
that's
Mark.
Extreme,
you hit it right on there.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is just disgusting that that a man is actually coming out and saying, and people are accepting it. He's not being... that he wasn't just... they just didn't cut him off right there.
Well, Charlie Kirk has, I mean, he invented the cottage industry of MAGA Christian nationalist extremism, right? He's the founder of Turning Pack Action Committee. He's made himself extremely famous and very wealthy by peddling this sort of sexist, racist garbage for the last, I don't know, 8+ years. I mean, that's
probably close to 10. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Nearing a decade.
And but here's the thing. He's not the only one, though.
There are
a ton of these bros out there who are constantly peddling this idea of this, you know, toxic male syndrome or whatever you want to call it. And it to me, it's, you know, it comes back to the fragile male ego and how we bring people up in our society right now. And are we being honest and truthful with everybody that we're bringing through the school system and as parents and helping them understand that everybody has the same rights as you do?
And should.
Instead of inferring that they don't.
Right. Thanks for that, Tom. And I this entire discussion and the women need to be quieter and subservient, it's really struck a chord for me because I know you'll be shocked to hear that since I popped out of my incredible 82-year-old mother's womb, I've had a lot to say and generally said it pretty strongly throughout my entire life. And much of my upbringing, to some degree, I heard from a lot of different places.
Yes.
You need to be quieter. Don't talk now. Not your place. Don't say that. Yep. So when we come back, I'm really excited. We're going to bring on president of Trek Bicycles, John Burke. We're going to talk about who he's voting for and why. He's an independent. He's an author. He's a global businessman. Can't wait to talk to John. And folks, if you're into Hollywood, I got quite the interview this afternoon.
Oh, boy.
Sarah Jessica Parker interviewing in the 350 slot. Keep it locked. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
They said, sir, I just think it's inappropriate for you to say, pay these guys a lot of money. Can you believe it? I said, well, I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not.
I'd certainly prefer it if you liked my show. But as long as you're listening and engaging, this is the point, folks. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a very fine guest joining me for this next half hour. His name is John Burke. He's the president of the global business you know as Trek Bicycles. I hope you're riding one around your beautiful Wisconsin neighborhood enjoying the fall colors. He's been on the show before. He's joining me and special co-host Tom Paulswitz for this next half hour. You're going to want to listen to everything John has to say, because not only is he an incredibly successful business leader, he's a three-time author, he's an independent voter, and he's got a couple of things to say, but keep it locked through the whole show, because we're ending up today with an incredible interview with Sarah Jessica Parker. Yes, that SJP of the Shoe and Sex in the City fame. We've got everybody coming together on the Maggie Dawn Show. Welcome back, John. It's a real pleasure to have you. Thank you for taking the time, sir.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Let's just jump right in, because you and I got to talking last time and we barely got enough time for me to ask you the most important question these few days out from the election, which is, John, you're an independent, again, successful global businessman. You're a corporate leader. You're an independent. Who are you voting for and why?
Well, I think if you take a look at it, you basically have two choices. You have Donald Trump and you have Kamala Harris. And the way I look at it from a business point of view, I kind of step back and take a look at all the facts. And I'm a big facts guy. And I take a look at Donald Trump, and I think he disqualifies himself. I think he takes himself out of the race for three reasons. First is, almost half the people who worked for him before in his cabinet, who spent thousands, tens of thousands of hours with him, are not supporting him. They're saying, no, don't do it. And so I think they know more than I do. I think they know more than any of us know. And you have people like John Bolton, and you have his chief of staff, John Kelly. You've got Mike Pence. You have people who are saying, don't do it. They know more than we do. The second reason why I think he disqualifies himself is he lies all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people counted when he was in the White House 30,000 lies. If you took a look at him during one press conference, it was 60 times. He says things that are just not true. And I don't think you can run for the highest office in the land. I don't think you can occupy the Oval Office. This is a serious matter before the American people. This isn't some reality TV show joke.
Yeah.
This is the real deal, everybody. And we need a serious person. This is the leader of the free world, and you can't run around making up lies all the time. And the third reason is that I love history. And historians rate presidents. I mean, who else would rate the presidents? And historians do it. Nonpartisan people rate the presidents. Five of the top 10 are Republican, five are Democrats. And almost every group that rates the presidents puts Donald Trump near the bottom.
Yeah.
For his term, the term he served. We all had the benefit of having watched the person in the job for 4 years. We know what's coming. And if I took a look at those 4 years and I go, no thanks. And I think people really ought to take a look at this. These are challenging times all around the world. There's serious stuff going on. There are bigger issues today. The globe faces bigger issues today than we have ever faced. I'm talking about climate change. I'm talking about the threat of nuclear war. I'm talking about healthcare crises. The list goes on. There are serious issues, and I really believe this isn't a normal presidential campaign. This isn't Obama versus Romney.
Yeah.
This is not a normal campaign where if one side loses, we're fine. This is not that. Right. This is a different game.
Last count, I've been trying to keep a rough tally. Over 400 historians have spoken out publicly, which is, and people sort of, oh, it's 400 historians. And 23 Nobel winning economists have spoken out and said they're supporting Kamala Harris. This is really notable. And I think it goes to your point, John. These are people that usually don't do that. They usually do not endorse candidates because they work in a research field. They work in a field that is supposed to be about their objective expertise, bringing something new to their area of study. Their objectivity and independence is something that is central to their success as academics, as researchers. And we've got, you know, literally hundreds of these people expressing their concern. Last tally, not just the 400 historians and the 23 Nobel laureate economists, 100 of Trump's former national security personnel and military personnel. So yes, over half is cabinet. But then you talk about the people that really know the scary stuff, and you've got 100 that are the ones that are speaking publicly. It's really, really shocking. Tom, I know you had a couple of questions and thoughts for John as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll jump in with this one. You know, first off, I agree with you about history. I went to see Doris Kearns Goodwin the other night speak in Brookfield. It was fantastic. And, you know, looking at things through the lens of history gives some kind of idea of where character fits in. John, I think the biggest thing I wanted to ask you is in the business world, you know, when I started running for Congress as a Democrat, I used to have my clients, because I'm a business and executive coach, I used to have my clients come into my office, close the door, lean across the desk and whisper to me, I'm also a Democrat. Because it's hard to be a Democrat in the business climate which is part of why people believe that Donald Trump will do a much better job with the economy because he's such an excellent business person. But that's some backup to ask my question is, you call yourself an independent, but when I look at what your book says and when I look at what you're talking about, it seems to me you're a Democrat. So how can you help me understand, like, what in your mind, what's the difference between right now being a Democrat and being an independent?
Well, I think the biggest thing about being independent is looking at every single issue as it comes up and not being aligned to any one tribe. I think if you take a look at Democrats raise a lot of money. Democrats are loyal to certain segments of the certain segments of the voters, and they just back them no matter what. They don't stand back, put all the issues on the board, look at it and say, you know what? No, we're going to change here. Democrats are married to positions just like Republicans are. Democrats raise billions of dollars from the same places all the time to the people that support them. And I just don't think it's healthy for our democracy. And, you know, I think one of the things we truly need in this country is campaign finance reform.
Yes.
And you don't hear Democrats talk about it. You know, I've said this before, but we're $35 trillion in debt. Yep. Can you tell me what Kamala Harris's plan is? There isn't one.
Right, but they're also talking about things that are at a higher level than that. But I think just going back to the question of what specific things do you feel that Democrats are, I guess, tribal about that doesn't involve helping people? Because they've got a plan on how to make sure everybody gets health care. They have a plan on how to make sure everybody has a living wage. They have a plan to eventually balance the budget, but it has to be through higher taxes and a shifting of resources. So those are the things that Democrats already talk about, but Republicans never talk about those things.
Yeah.
So going back to the question, though, is what's the big difference besides just maybe tribal politics when it comes to the current environment and being a Democrat or being an independent?
Well, I can only speak for myself. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I don't vote for one party. I vote for people. I look at Kamala Harris and I look at Donald Trump and I go, are you kidding me? Kamala Harris.
Right.
Okay, that's what I do. I'm an independent. I look at things like the debt and I go, this is what I think the right answer is. I don't have somebody tell me what I should think. It's just that works for me. Other people might say, you know what, I like being aligned to a party. And then I see some things the Democrats do and I'm like, I don't agree with that. And that's okay. You can't agree with everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Right. But I also know, you know, a lot of Democrats who you have to earn their vote by talking about the issues they care about. But also part of it is education. I mean, I talked about campaign finance reform all the time.
Yeah.
And people generally understood it and generally people were on board with it. I said, we need 3-month elections and they needed to be funded by
public
the public.
Funding,
and everybody's like, absolutely, let's do that.
Why can't
that? So part of it is what we talk about.
Let's jump in there because given the decision in Citizens United, right, it was sort of the culmination of a 50-year march towards legalizing corruption. And I want to be clear about what I mean by that, right? Like,
yes,
if money
exactly.
is speech and corporations are people, that means that rich people and corporations get to buy as much speech as they want. When you can buy speech, it means you can swing electorates. And if you can swing electorates, it means you own the politicians that you choose to elect. And if you own the politicians you choose to elect, you get to tell them what sort of tax policy and what sort of campaign finance policy you want. So short of an absolute reform of the Supreme Court, we've got a legal case that's keeping corruption in place by not addressing the fact that money is not speech. Leads me to think what we've got to do is amend the Constitution. When you think about money in politics, John, what do you think from just a completely nonpartisan perspective? Because I agree with both of you gentlemen. Everybody I've ever talked to is like, that's stupid. Like, corporations aren't people and money ain't speech.
It's the worst possible job interview process in the world.
Yeah, right. What comes like to mind, John, for you, or what have you looked at that you think is a solution to stop this beholdenness of elected officials?
Well, you have to get money out of politics. I mean, we're in a democracy. Everybody's vote should count the same as everybody else's. And the fact is, you have a lot of people who have a lot of money who are getting a lot more votes than people who don't have a lot of money. That's not the way the system was set up, and it needs to be corrected. One of the problems we have in this country is citizenship. Our citizenship is as poor as our leadership is. If you put a bunch of citizens in a room with a whiteboard and you said, here's the situation, 95% of them would vote to change it.
Yeah.
All of this money being fueling political campaigns is dumbing down the voters. 90% of our citizens are not educated on the key issues. It's not healthy for our democracy.
Yeah, and John, I'll agree with you on that. You know, one of the things that money provides is the ability to stoke people's emotions, which is on the opposite side of what you're talking about, which is, are we dealing with things logically? And, you know, when was the last time you saw a campaign ad that was logical? they don't make them because they don't work. You know, but it's also part of the process of being able to say we need to slow down and we need to educate people in order to understand the issues. Because I paged through your most recent book yesterday, and all the things you talk about are all metrics driven. They're all good ideas. They're all being implemented in other places, but for some reason they're hard to implement here. But it also is because of money in politics is keeping those things from happening.
Yes,
because once you start solving problems, it's hard to stoke the emotions of the issue at hand.
Right. And a lot of them are related to money and politics. And then there's a bunch that aren't. Mm. But, you know, we don't have people who want to deal with serious issues. I'll take the healthcare crisis. We have a healthcare system that is twice as expensive as any other system in the world, and it delivers the worst results. In Italy, you will live 7 years longer than you do in the United States. At the root cause of it is unhealthy Americans. 42% of Americans are obese, and it's trending to 50%. And there is a...
Let's just hold it right there. We're going to come back. Let's start with that healthcare piece and dive right back in. My very special guest this half hour is the president of Global Business Trek Bicycles. Really smart guy, independent. He's got some ideas. So does my fabulous co-host this afternoon, Tom Paulswitz, two-time congressional candidate. My name's Maggie Dawn. We're going to come right back. I love a little deductive reasoning live on the radio. This is important, folks. You're going to want to hear the next part. It's coming up after these brief messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the I can do anything.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Packed show as ever and always for everybody today. You're going to want to keep it locked for the rest of the show. Maggie and the Millionaires today got a sociologist. Her name's Wendy Lee. She's studied the careers and social networks of policy professionals. I would imagine that my two special guests this half hour might find that discussion fascinating. I am joined by a very special co-host right now. His name's Tom Paulswitz, two-time congressional candidate. We're talking with John Burke, president of Trek Bicycles. John, we were talking before the break about the need for healthcare outcomes to get better in this country. And you were pointing out the very real reality that the majority of Americans, by some health measures, are sick, ill, not well. And it always causes me to think about this question. How did we get here? Right? Because, yes, we have terrible health outcomes while we spend the most. And I think, yes, of course, we have to look at people's eating behaviors, their stress levels, exercise, all of those things on an individual level. Are we educating people about how to eat healthy? Do people have access to affordable, healthy foods? All that good stuff. And how did we get here, right? Like, we stink at preventative care in this country and getting people low cost, easily accessible, preventable care. When you look at healthcare, John, what pops to front of mind in terms of how do we get to better outcomes?
I think the way we get to better outcomes is some leadership in our government, specifically from the president, that what we're going to do is we're on a terrible track here and we're going to turn it around. We're going to become a healthy nation. You cannot have a great nation made up of very unhealthy people. And that's what we have, and it's getting worse. We need to make it a national priority. And we did this with smoking. We did this with drunk driving. We can turn this around, but you need some leadership here. You need to give people the tools, and people are going to need to get serious about it. But government can play a role, and I really believe we need to make it a priority because our healthcare costs are going to bankrupt this country.
Mm. So true, especially as people continue to live longer. If you're living longer and yet you have incredible needs, both pharmacological and in terms of your physical health. Tom, I'm going to let you get a question in here, but I had this as sort of maybe a bigger picture issue, John. And that is, when I look at what the vast majority of Americans want to see done better or more of from their government, be it at a state, local, or federal level, it seems to me one of the enormous obstacles to that is the partisan gerrymander. Because the more extreme, right, the more extreme you make a district, the more unresponsive to voters that district becomes by definition. Where does that rank in terms of trying to identify some of the system problems that are keeping us from holding government officials accountable?
If you get a bunch of smart people in the room and you say, how can we fix this country? They will say, take money out of politics, get rid of gerrymandering, and institute term limits in the House and the Senate. That is the same as the presidency. You could make those three changes, make the changes in the Constitution, and let's go. This is the serious stuff that should be discussed in a presidential campaign, and what we're talking about is Arnold Palmer. Mm. Come on, yes. America.
Exactly.
Crazy. Yeah.
I guess back to healthcare real quick. John, how do you feel about decoupling healthcare from the employment? So basically take it out of the hands of employers and put it across the globe.
We need in this country good government. There's a conversation about the size of government. If you go to every government, there's a government-run healthcare system. Everybody's afraid of it because in areas we have bad government. In the book I address, we should have the best government in the world. Mm-hmm. We don't. Mm-hmm. We should have the best government in the world. And as part of a national challenge, part of that should be we're going to have an awesome government-led healthcare system for the 130 million people who are already on it. We already have this. It's called Medicare and Medicaid.
Yes.
And then we tie the government's hands and we say, well, the government's pathetic. Well, the government's hands are tied. We should put a rock star group of people in charge of a government-led healthcare system that would be the best system in the world. Let's go.
But I would also say, John, that having run a successful company, you have probably invested in your people and the processes to make sure your company gets better on a regular basis. One of the things I always think about is we're not doing that with government. We're not investing in making sure that people learn leadership, learn management, focus on results, make sure the same things that are being done in the private sector are being done at the public sector, and making them transparent. So I think that's another element, you know, because you say we need better government. Absolutely. But if we don't invest in the people of who are doing the jobs, we're not going to get it.
No, you're not going to get it. And most importantly, you're not going to get it if you don't invest in the leadership. And the other thing is leadership needs to be able to change out the players. And if you have poor performers working in the government, you've got to be able to make changes.
We got to leave it there. I'm so sorry, gentlemen. Wow. We could talk all day. This is what it's about, everybody. Good people coming together with the desire to make it work better for each and every one of you. My thanks to John Burke, president of Trek Bikes, and Tom Paulswitz, two-time congressional candidate. Maggie and the Millionaires talking money when we come back with sociologist Wendy Lee.
I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.